This must define your life and redefine your life, your destiny. Something about your life can be changed in a very powerful way, in a very major way. So let's pray. Let's just pray. You know, talk to God personally. You are not praying for the church. You are not praying for the camp. You are not praying for your pastor. You are praying for yourself. You know, you are praying for yourself. Jesus said, the seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. The seed is the word of God. Let's pray and ask the Lord that the seed we are receiving, the seeds we are receiving, will bear fruits. You know, pray that your heart will not be a very hard ground. Pray that your heart will not be stubborn, a salted heart, but that God will work on you. Work on you. Surrender. Release yourself. Just allow the Lord. Allow the Lord. Allow the Lord. Allow the Lord. Allow the Lord to have his way. Allow him to have his way. Allow him to have his way. It's a blessing to be here. It's a blessing to be here. Don't be here and resist God. Allow him to have his way. Allow him to have his way. Pray. Just pray in the spirit. Pray in the spirit. Father, we thank you. Father, we bless you. What a privilege. What an honor. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. What a blessing. What a blessing. What a blessing. Thank you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Mandolo bosa kayande bolale kamonde. Thank you for a great blessing we are receiving. Let it reflect. Let it show. Let it show. Let it show. Let it show, Lord. Let it show in the name of Jesus. Let it show. Let it show in the name of Jesus. Mandelebo. Thank you, Lord. 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 Ramama kelemonde. Thank you, Jesus. Kayamonda, kayede, kabaya, ramama, mayande, kamaya, yande lebo, ramama, yande, kaba, yana, mayande. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you for the blessing. 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 It's a blessing. It's a blessing. Help us to walk in it continually. 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 Continually, continually, continually. Thank you, Jesus. Continually pray. Father, we thank you. Our lives are changed. Now let's stand to our feet for just 1 minute. Lift up our two hands and begin to pray. Yes, before we sit down, just lift your hands and pray. Just lift your hands and pray. Just lift your hands and pray. Mayande ketebosa yandalaba ramama yandalabosa kendelebe ramamaya ramamaya ramama yandalaba ramakibo shema yende kama yana ramamaya lamenimo kama yande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for your wonderful blessing, for the great privilege. For every blessing, for every blessing, for every blessing. Kamaya yekelebo zeme yandalaba. Ramama yandalaba. Baba yamama yande. Ramama yande. Thank you, Lord. Thank you for the privilege of a lifetime. Thank you, Lord. For the privilege of a lifetime. Thank you, Lord. For the privilege of a lifetime. Thank you, Lord. For the privilege of a lifetime. Our lives will never be the same. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of a lifetime. Thank you, Lord, for the privilege of a lifetime. Our lives will never be the same. Thank you, Jesus. We thank you. In Jesus' name, amen. Please sit down. Let's look at one of the highlights of this morning. John 14. Aliu. Good. Verse 23. Are you there? What does it say? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my commandment. I've been told there are about four people who love God in this camp. Who are they? The four guys. Oh, all of you? Wow. Okay, then let's read. Sound. Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Amen. No one here should take such words lightly as some poems or some, you know, nice sayings. Told us that the presence of God is the reward for obedience. Yeah. And you don't want to live a day without the presence of God. Moses said, if your presence does not go with us, don't send us from here. Yes. And these are very important spiritual realities that every believer must understand, you know, that you and I need God. And we are seeing here clearly, if a man love me, he will keep my words. And my Father will love him. And we will come unto him and make our abode with him. Young boys need the presence of God. Yeah. And I'm sure young girls also need the presence of God. Or we are the only ones who need the presence of God. Oh, girls don't need the presence of God. Sorry. I didn't know. So young boys need the presence of God. The girls don't need that presence much. Yeah. Do girls also need the presence of God? Yeah. Older men need the presence of God. Older ladies need the presence of God. Yes, we need that presence because there are devils. We are swimming in a sea of demons. Yes, we are swimming in a sea of devils, wicked spirits. You are as nice as you are because they haven't got you yet. If they get you, read the newspapers, go to the internet, you see people that the demons got. They will devour you. They will finish you. You see, to devour is different from eat. They connote the same, you know, imagery, but it's different. Yeah. You're all Canadian, so you don't understand what it means to devour. But I'm an African, so. Yeah. For a very long time, for years, I was not eating. I was only devouring. Yeah. It's in recent times that I ever ate and left some. Since I was born. You see, to devour means
you eat and there's nothing left in the plate. To eat, there'll be some crumbs, some one or two things. But to devour means to exclusively finish completely without any remnant. That is what the devil does. Peter said it. First Peter said, your enemy, which is also something nice people don't believe. Is it be sober? Is it verse 8? Yes, verse 8. Look at it. First Peter 5, 8. Because your adversary, and you need to believe it, yeah, that as nice as you are, there's someone who doesn't like you. There's someone who hates you. Your adversary, the devil, your enemy, the devil, as a roaring lion walketh about, seeking whom he may. Be sober. Is it verse 8? Yes, verse 8. Look at it, verse 8. Be sober and be vigilant. 1 Peter 5, 8. Because your adversary, and you need to believe it, yeah, that as nice as you are, there's someone who doesn't like you. There's someone who hates you. Your adversary, the devil. Aluminium. Aluminum. And we ate in two planes. You know planes? Horizontal plane. We ate in two planes. You start with the horizontal plane. You eat. Then when you finish, you move to the vertical plane. The plate is like this, and you use your tongue. And clean up the plate vertically. Devouring. Yeah, when you finish, the aluminium plate is lying there. Ah, have you eaten? Yes, I've eaten. That food is finished. Yeah. Yeah. Your enemy wants to destroy you. Yeah. By the time the devil is finished with you, you will not even recognize your own self. Yeah. You are out of your mind, out of your home, out of your life, living a deep. That if a man love me, he will what? Keep my words. My words. And my Father will love him, and we will come to him and make our abode with him. You know one of the very important words of Jesus? The last words. The last words. The last words. Matthew 28. 18, 19, 20. The last words. Everyone here must keep these words. All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. Verse 19. Go ye therefore. These are the words. Unfortunately, we can't project color. But you see that your Bible is red. I don't know why we cannot project red letters. But you see, your Bible is, these are the words of Jesus. He said, if any man keep my words, if any man keep these words, if any young boy keeps these words, if any young girl keeps these words, if any pastor, there are pastors who don't keep these words. Yes. Yeah. Preaching in church, preaching in your branch, preaching in your auditorium is different from going out to preach somewhere. There are pastors who don't obey these words. They don't obey. And what you don't know is that every such disobedience is costing you the presence of God. Yes, it's costing the presence of God. We will take this land. We will take this land. This way. We will take this land. We will never take this land hiding in our churches. Having sweet services. And listening to sweet sermons. And preaching sweet messages. The only way to do this is to go. And these are not the words of Peter. These are the words of Jesus. And everyone here should be concerned. You should ask yourself, are you obeying such words? No city shall be too strong for us. What are the cities here?
Toronto,
Ottawa. Toronto,
Ottawa.
Ottawa. Winnipeg. Do we have a church in Winnipeg?
No.
Saskatoon.
Yeah.
Do you have a church there?
Regina.
Do you have a church in Toronto?
Yes.
We do?
Yes.
Okay. Regina. And where else?
Regina.
Regina.
No.
No.
Medicine
Hat. It's a town or it's a city. It's a city. And we don't have a church there. Yeah. Okay, it's here. Manitoba. Do you have Ontario? We do. Manitoba. Do you have anything BC? We do. We have BC. Okay, yes, we are here. Yeah. Manitoba. Do we have a church there? Yeah. So when you say that no city shall be too strong, how do you test the strength of a city? How will you know that a city is strong or not strong? You will not know it by sitting in your church. Yes. You will know it by having respect for the words of Jesus.
Amen.
That's why I said, if anybody keeps these words, the Matthew 28 words, you know, and I'll tell you, you know, young boys, young girls, I'm an old man now, so. No, I'm above 50, so when you're above 50, you're an old man. So the young boys and girls must, yeah. Even if you are a 49-year-old woman, you are a small girl. Can I tell you something interesting?
Yes.
We are fighting against the power of the devil. Satan is destroying young girls, destroying families. Maybe he's not come to your house yet, but believe it. Yes, he is devastating lives. Tearing families apart. Father is there. Mother is there. Children are everywhere. That is what ones. He never. Have you watched Tasmania Devil? It's a cartoon. Yeah. Yeah. When he passes through your house, no two things are together. Yes. And it is that power he's using to destroy lives. Putting young boys and girls on drugs, pornography, fornication, abortions, clubbing, godlessness, just plain godlessness. Look, godlessness is as serious, it's even more serious than even smoking. There's no God in your life. It's like you don't even believe in God. It's a power. That is why when Jesus came to the disciples on his last day, the final day, he introduced himself. You see, he just did not tell them to go. In verse 18 of Matthew 28, he said, "All power is given unto me in heaven and in earth. I have got every power. I have got every power. Power to subdue demonic powers. Power to keep you from drugs. Power to keep you from fornication." I'm showing you that, you see, there is a power. If that power is not deployed in your direction, you will fall flat on your stomach. If that power of God is not deployed in your direction, you'll be amazed at what the devil can do. Many of us don't know what the devil can do. Unless you read the news and you listen to stories. So when he came, his first point was that all power is given to me. He just did not come to tell them to go. He said, all power in heaven and in earth has been given to me. Therefore, go. It is in going that you are able to deploy that power the devil is using to destroy lives. Yes. It is in going. It is when you go. Look, if you sit in church, drugs will find you. If you sit in church, not going anywhere, you'll be amazed that the battle is not supposed to come to you. Don't sit there for the devil to come to you. You will not do well there. The place where, you see, when we were children, we would go to school, we would taunt our friends, you know, there would be fight and so on. But one of the things we did was that we always, as we are taunting the person or as we are quarreling, we are coming towards home. You know, and the person is coming because we know that our big brother is at home or your father is at home because it's not everywhere you fight. It's not everywhere you fight. There's a place when you fight, you are going down. They'll finish you. But if you are able to bring the battle somewhere closer to where the powers are, by the time the guy comes, your friends in the area are also waiting for him. They will give him a good thrashing. Aha. You don't just fight anywhere. And we as Christians, the battle with the enemy should not be fought in the church. It should not be fought. Don't sit in church for the battle to come here. The place where the enemy will not prevail is at their gates. Take it to their gates. Jesus told Peter that it is on this rock I will build my church. Matthew 16. Look at it. Verse 18. Upon this rock I will build my church. And the gates of hell shall not prevail. Not the gate of the church. The battle cannot come near the gate of the church. It is when we take it to the gates of hell, where the devil is. Yesterday, I was in town, downtown Calgary, and we were watching Nigeria versus Argentina, yes. And eventually they scored Nigeria. Yeah, but they were playing good soccer. They played well. But you know why they were beaten? For the last 20 or 30 minutes, the game was to their gate. And we were standing there and Bishop came. He said, the way they are playing, they will lose the match. Within 3 minutes, they are scored. Because you can't play by just defending. You can defend for so long. At a point, a goal will slip through. So if you want to win it, you take it to the other side and press and press and press. May we take the gospel. May we take the word of God. May we take the power in our hands. May we take the ministry to that side. Don't come here. Don't allow them to bring it here. Don't sit in church and be preaching nice sermons. Let us go. We cannot take these cities by sitting in church. Within 3 minutes, because you cannot, when you are dealing with an enemy, you don't play defensive. That's why in the US, they always go there and bomb them. They don't wait for them to come to the border. Shepherds, pastors, members, don't sit in your house. Don't wait for the battle to come near your house. Take it out there. Be in the streets. Be at the coffee bars. Be there and preach the gospel. Organize your members that we are going. Please sit down. Please sit down. Please sit down. Look. If you say, church is not safe. Church is not safe. The people who eventually overcome are not those who sat in church. But they moved out. They took the gospel out. They took it out. That's why Jesus said, power has been given to me. So go. It is in when, you see, it is in going that the power that is available is deployed in your direction. Luke chapter 10. You remember in verse 1. To go and preach. Then they went and preached. And they came back and said, the demons are subject to us. They were excited. It is in Luke 10 that Jesus made that very, very powerful promise. He said, behold, I give you power. I give you power. It was after they had gone. He said, I give you power. Is it verse 19? I think so. I give you power over all the powers of the enemy. Over all the power of the enemy. I give you power to tread on serpents. The power of God is not given to just nice Christians. The power that is able to get you to overcome drugs, fornication, pornography. You spend 4 hours every day on pornography. Four hours, 12 to 4, 1 to 5, all night, afternoon, sometimes 2 hours in the afternoon. You see that the mind is twisted and destroyed. The soul is destroyed. It's a power. But God can give you power to tread upon serpents. Anything that is subtle, trying to come into the life of a young boy. Look, organize yourselves and step out with the gospel. Do not sit in church singing nice songs and doing nice praise and worship. You see, we come to church to refuel. Yes. The purpose for church is actually for refueling. We come to gather energy. We come to fill our tanks. We come to receive energy to go out. To go out. The power of God is not given to the people who sit in church. This is Luke 10. When they went and they came. Look, I've been a pastor long enough to see people who have sat in church unconcerned, too pretty to win souls, too educated to do ministry, too this to do that, too that to do this. Ultimately, I see them popping off. You will be extracted. Something will take you away. So when Jesus sent you to go, it's not because he needs souls from you. It's not because when you go, you will bring souls. You will win a soul. You will be in church. But it is for your own good. You are rather garnering power. Can you imagine you are into souls? Soul winning. You are establishing souls. You are witnessing. You are counseling. You are praying for your members. As you sit here, you've got 4 people in church that you call, that you bring to church, that you minister to. They call you. They counsel you. Can you imagine yourself spending 2 hours watching pornography? You can't. So by doing that work alone, you have deployed power against some of the things the devil is going to do in your life. That is why we serve God. That is why we serve God. We serve God not because we are great and without us, God can't do much. Or without us, God can't build this church. It is for you. Your life is changed. I said, your life is changed. Your life is changed. Any power of the devil is broken over your life. You survive wickedness and evil. You don't have any idea what the devil is doing. But some of you have an idea. Yes. And I'm saying that merely sitting in church will not save you. Yes. Those who are able to overcome are those who step out with the gospel, who go to the streets, who go to the malls, who go and share the gospel. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Clap your hands for Jesus. It should not be that you sat in church and the devil was able to extract you. He was able to destroy you. Go out with the gospel. Go and share. All the cities we have talked about, all these cities are waiting for us. And they will not bow when we sit in our churches. When we have nice services. Ideally, every church service should be preceded by going out to bring people. I mean, see, if you are here in this camp, don't just go to church on Sunday. Anybody here in this camp, I mean, on Sunday morning, you just dress up. You wear a nice whatever. You make your face, or you paint your face with paint. Layers. And you go to church. Leave that one to some new convert or some other people. But you and I, on Sunday, we go to church not only with our Bibles and with our bags, but we go to church with souls. Have people you carry to church. That's how we build. That's how we take cities. And God wants us, everyone, no one here is here by accident. No one. Nobody here is here by accident. But if you allow it, if you don't take the words of the prophet, a man God has sent to speak his mind to you, if you joke with it, you'll be surprised. You sat in church, but you did not. You ended up just like those in the world. There should be a difference. I said there should be a difference. There should be a big difference between you and your cousins who don't go to church. There should be a difference between you and your classmates who don't go to church. There should be a difference between you and anyone who is not serious with God. If you are in church, then you must have something to show. And God will give you something to show. There'll be a difference between those who serve God and those who don't serve God. Determine in your heart that from now on Sunday, by the grace of God, you are carrying people to church. And as the months roll by, your numbers will increase. That anyone here who just dresses up and goes to church alone is actually a waster of God's grace, a waster of God's blessing, a prodigal son and a prodigal daughter. Yes. We are not joking here. We are not joking here. God wants you to join in the building of the church. And he will do great things with your life. Clap your hands for Jesus. Your hand clap is very weak.